The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
I'm sure we've heard the phrase, "Why didn't she just leave?" when talking about domestic violence. But what researchers and domestic violence advocates know is that DV doesn't just start with physical violence. Usually, there's years of manipulation, mental, emotional, and financial abuse that sometimes escalates to physical violence. The manipulation and isolation from friends and family, the slow but persistent mental beatdowns, are what violence prevention group White Ribbon call coercive control, and they're fighting to make it a criminal offence if seen in a relationship. Joining me now is White Ribbon CEO Brad Chilcott. Brad, thank you so very much for joining me. Firstly, what is coercive control, and is it hard to see when it's happening in a relationship?
Good morning, Jenna. Yeah, coercive control, as your introduction said, is one of the non-physical aspects of family violence or engendered violence. Mm-hmm. It's the surveillance, it's the controlling a person's movements, what they wear, who they associate with. It's limiting access to phone or transport or finances. It's the kind of emotional abuse, humiliation, and all those controlling behaviours that reduce a person's sense of autonomy and independence.
Now, continue.
I was just going to say, it can be hard to detect when, law and police are at the moment focused on an incident-based response. You know, you need to see an act of physical violence so you can intervene, and that's why we're promoting this campaign to criminalise coercive control so that we can engage with victims and with perpetrators, recognising a pattern of behaviour rather than just a single incident.
You've done some pretty fascinating research. What's that found around coercive control?
Well, we polled Australians around whether they believe that someone would be charged or identified by police if they didn't engage in, you know, a physical act of violence or break a domestic violence order. And 81% of Australians recognised or said, no, that would never be identified. So it kind of shows that Australians know that violence is more than just the physical. 70% of Australians in the same poll said coercive control should be criminalised, and so it shows that they know all this other form of violence that you mentioned earlier goes on for decades. Mm. It might never be intervened with. The perpetrators might never be held to account, and the victims might be never taken seriously, even though many victim survivors say that this form of violence is, in fact, the worst part of their experience.
And in terms of speaking with the people that can spark change, be that legislators and politicians, what have you had in terms of a conversation with any West Australian politicians around coercive control? I know that our Women's Interest Minister and Attorney General John Quigley, and Women's Interest Minister Simone McGurk are very interested in this field and are looking at certain ways to maybe invoke this in the new Family Law Amendment Bill, which has passed, but they said it is open to tweaks. Have you had any conversations with these type of people around coercive control happening to both men and women in Western Australia?
Yeah, we have spoken, as you mentioned, to the Attorney General and others, and it's true that this is a very complex aspect of law, which is often the initial response from politicians across the board, across the country. It's complex because it is that move from an incident base to a pattern of behaviour. It's also very new in regards to globally. The gold standard for coercive control laws is the Scottish bill, the Scottish legislation, mm-hmm. and that only came into place in 2019. And it's showing good signs of making a real difference. With all of that in mind, it is going to take a lot of consultation and careful consideration to construct laws that really work. And so I think politicians are rightly saying, let's take our time on this. For example, the Attorney General in New South Wales today announced a inquiry into coercive control, mm-hmm. or the parliamentary inquiry, mm-hmm. recognising this will take time to get right, but that these laws are really important to change the way we understand gender violence in Australia.
See, that's great, and a parliamentary inquiry is a great first step. But one thing that really irks me is that the politicians want to take their time around this. Yet, meanwhile, here in WA last week, in the budget, we had the green light for 800 more police to hit the streets in WA over the next couple of years. Are you hoping that all new cadets in the West Australian Police Force undergo really rigorous DV training, even in regarding coercive control?
Yeah, I think the more that police can understand the nuances and the broadness of what domestic violence constitutes, the better their response will be. And the more they can understand that domestic violence isn't just about the physical incident, but can be this pattern of behaviour, the better the experience of women who are affected by this is going to be as well when they engage with the justice system. But I think, again, this is why careful consideration is needed, because to make a coercive control law work properly, police and judiciary and indeed the public need to be well educated about what coercive control is and that these laws are now in place. Actually, I think this is one of the key powers of making coercive control a criminal offence, is that it makes a clear statement about what society thinks is okay and not okay in relationships. And yes, we need the law to hold criminals to account, to hold perpetrators to account, but we also need this public declaration of what is okay in a relationship that you're in, that you can expect a certain level of respect and dignity and to be treated as a human being with individual rights in a relationship that you're in. It as we start to talk about this and have this conversation, it changes people's perception about what they should expect from any relationship.
Yeah, indeed. I think the first step is definitely a conversation, and getting politicians involved is a fantastic way to spark change and also educate the general public. So Brad Chilcott, CEO of White Ribbon, really excited to see where this campaign goes. Congratulations on the launch yesterday. Thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live.
Thank you for having me.